D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you on your drive home. I hope everybody is having a wonderful day and your commute is going smoothly and you aren't yelling at anybody and you're staying calm by listening to us on your drive home. The Tennessee Titans lose their preseason opener on Saturday, 29-7 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cam Ward in two series, 5-for-8 passing, 67 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and a rating of 89.1. But that was Saturday. On Friday, we were treated to what the Wall Street Journal, Jason Gay of the Wall Street Journal, called the most meaningful, meaningless NFL game ever. That was Shedeur Sanders making the start for the Cleveland Browns against the Carolina Panthers. And Shedeur Sanders had an impressive day. 14-23 passing, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He played 9 series for the Browns. An impressive performance, gentlemen, but didn't make a change in the Cleveland Browns depth chart. Adam Schefter, 8 minutes ago, quote, on Cleveland's second depth chart of the summer, here is how the Browns are listing their quarterbacks this week. 1, Flacco. 2, Pickett. 3, Gabriel. 4, Sanders. I thought he might at least be number 3.
He didn't pass anybody?
No. He's back. He's still at 4, I guess. I mean, it was, look, he.
Is this the old adage, you cannot lose your spot due to injury?
I guess so.
I suppose, because Pickett and Gabriel are injured and Flacco is old. But Sanders,
DNP, old.
Yes, but Sanders, again, 14 of 23, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions across 9 series. He looked good. He certainly looked good, but it led to a lot of people overreacting about Shedeur Sanders. I believe one of the sports world's greatest, and by great I mean biggest, not like actually great, greatest provocateurs, Skip Bayless, found a way onto Twitter and said, every team was wrong for passing on Shedeur Sanders. Look at him, 14 for 23. It was six. The video, by the way, was like 15 minutes long. I'm sorry that happened, or I'm happy for you. I'm not watching Skip Bayless for 15 minutes. But
you have to sift through the extremist takes, because there's plenty of them on both sides. People that want to be right, that he slipped to the fifth round unfairly and he really is that good, or, hey, I told you so, he slipped to the fifth round for a reason. And none of those people can know that one way or the other right now. But I would say this, D-Mace, we have to give him credit for, like, if he had played bad.
Oh yeah.
Then you know, it's going to give more reason for Cleveland to keep him at fourth or fifth on the depth chart, because they do have 5 guys now, right on under contract. But he had a chance to start because of circumstances, and he made the most of it. He looked good.
Yeah, he did. I'm sure there were, a group of people that, you know, couldn't wait for him to sort of get in and not do so well. And there were a group of people that wanted him to get in and, you know, do exceptionally well. And then there were the people in the middle. I think he went out and did exactly what, just like Cam Ward, did exactly what Cleveland wanted him to do. He looked poised in the pocket. He looked more like a starting quarterback than I think any one of the quarterbacks that played, rookie quarterbacks that played this weekend. I'm just talking about from a poise standpoint. Now, listen, I didn't watch all the Giants game. I did watch all the Titans game. But, you know, I didn't watch all the Saints game. So, even with that, how he looked in the pocket, it seems like he was sort of, he was games ahead already. Like, he had already played a game or two. That's how confident and poised he looked. Now, listen, it may change the next game. I don't know. He may not get as many reps, especially now with the first-team offense. But he did exactly what I think there were a group of people hoping he wouldn't do, and that's go out there and play well. And now he's put the pressure on Pittsburgh because now he's earned more snaps.
You mean Cleveland?
Cleveland, yes, okay. Excuse me. Now he's earned more snaps. Now you can't say, oh, you know, we just can't get him no snaps
right,
for the
Tim
other quarterbacks.
Boyle.
Exactly.
You look like you're not up to a league standard.
Absolutely.
He's at least like, hey, show me some more.
Absolutely. So he's earned more snaps. Now, whether the Cleveland Browns, it seems like they still got him fourth on the depth chart, but who cares about depth charts? But it's just funny. After he plays a game like that, he doesn't get elevated at least to the third. But listen.
It's a lightning
get another, rod. Yeah, he'll get another opportunity.
No matter what they do,
yeah,
there's going to be an extreme reaction all over the place.
If he'd have jumped up to the number two quarterback, it'd have been like, ooh, he's coming for Flacco's job.
Right, and it still wouldn't really mean anything yet because, you know, in a couple weeks is when they have to make the decision. Which of the 12 quarterbacks that they have is going to make the roster?
Here is some subtle reaction on social media from Deion Sanders at Deion Sanders, Coach Prime. What now? Hashtag Coach Prime. I like how he hashtagged his own name in a tweet about his son. Oh, yeah, what now? Hashtag Coach Prime. LeBron James, son of Ohio. That young man looking good out there at Shedeur Sanders. Keep going up, head down on the grind, and head high to the most high. And I don't want to hear that it's only preseason BS, because if he was out there not going in, y'all would be on his ass about it. So give credit and grace.
You're right about that one. Yeah, he's true. So it's true. But he's now he's a lightning rod.
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, if anything's going on with him, I mean, they even talked about, you know, him having an entourage when he came into the building. I don't think that was his entourage. I think that was players. The one guy that had the stick ended up being a guy on the field. I think he was a player. You ain't see that guy that walked in there with that whatever he had. He was like,
Is it pronounced scythe?
Yeah, scythe. Yes. A scythe.
It's what death carries.
Yeah. So he's walking in there.
The staff with the hook.
Yeah,
with the blade on it.
Yeah, but it didn't have a blade on it.
Oh, like the Grim Reaper kind
of
thing?
Yes, yes.
But a guy was walking in with him into the stadium, and it made it seem like he had this huge entourage, and I think he may. They said he was playing his own music.
You never
they
know.
They said he was playing his own theme song coming into the stadium. I don't know if it was true. But they said Shedeur was even playing his rap song. He was playing that as he was coming
into
the stadium.
Wasn't that a thing at Colorado? Some report that Shedeur Sanders, when he scored a touchdown, the stadium played his rap song versus the Pep band playing the fight song. Wasn't that a thing? Do I recall this correctly?
If you're going to put out a rap song, you might as well get it played when you score.
Derek, there have been some really crappy rap songs, man.
You're right about that.
There have been some really crappy rap songs.
But hey, listen, if you made
released by professional athletes. Shaq has like 5 albums.
Oh, Shaq has some good ones. but if you composed a rap song, put together a rap song, and you wanted to use it on air to be your theme song when we talk about you could do it, man. Go ahead and try it.
Please don't.
I mean, it's not the Was it the Icky Shuffle? Was that what was the Super Bowl Shuffle?
Oh, yeah, well, the Super Bowl Shuffle. Icky whatever he did.
Something.
Icky Slide. What was the Icky Shuffle? Well,
it was the Icky Shuffle, but that was a dance.
Yeah, that was a dance. That wasn't the whole.
That was a touchdown celebration.
You mean
and a really good one.
You mean the Chicago Bears?
And Icky eventually spiked some cold cuts just a few years ago, bringing back the Icky Shuffle.
Yeah, but I mean,
the Super Bowl Shuffle was put out there. There were a lot of members of the Bears.
The whole Bear crew.
And they put that out there before they won the Super Bowl, but they backed it up.
That's how good they were. So, I mean, listen, Shedeur Sanders, I think he did a good job. Should it warrant more playing time? Absolutely. Because if his name wasn't Sanders, you would say he deserved more playing time after playing like that with the first unit. But it's, you know, I want to grade all of these, all of the, you know, rookie quarterbacks, whether it was Dart, Milrow, Cam, Shedeur, who else played? Shuck.
Tyler Shuck did play.
Tyler Shuck did
J.J. McCarthy.
McCarthy. Mm. But he's not a rookie. I guess he still is a rookie, but he's
not. He's not technically a rookie, but he didn't play last
year. Did he play any preseason games?
He did get hurt in the preseason last year.
Yeah, I think he did play a preseason game last year or two.
If I recall correctly. By the way, did you know that Deion Sanders released his own album in 1994?
Yes,
Primetime through MC Hammer's Bust It Records by way of Capitol Records.
Must be the money.
Was
man.
A cult classic that some can still recite word for word.
Must be the money. That's turning me.
He performed the song while hosting Saturday Night Live? How did I not know this?
You didn't know this, Adam?
I was like 5 years old when
Still,
it came out.
I mean,
in 1994, he was rapping and playing two sports at the major league level.
What can he do? Hashtag Coach Prime. Skyler on our text line. I think what you were about to say, Derek, was that you're grading them all on the curve.
Yeah, I'm great. I think all these quarterbacks, you know, did, you know, what their teams wanted them to do for the most part. Obviously, you know, Shadur is going to get most of the attention because of, you know, everything that's, you know, surround him. I don't think it's bad, but because of his dad, he's going to get it or whatnot. But if you look at those quarterbacks, I think for the most part, they all did a pretty good job. It's that second game. How do they come back that second game, especially Cam Ward? And we talked about this earlier. How does he come back and not make those same mistakes, even though those mistakes that he made wasn't, they were not catastrophic, meaning interceptions. But still, I want to see him play more because I know he's going to get repeat defenses, and I want to see how he handles it. Say if they get him the first play on play 18, if you run a play and they run that same type of defense, are they going to get you again? Are you figuring it out? That's what I want to see from him. And it seems like in the two series he had, he started to pick that up. So,
by the way, Jackson Dart, 12 of 19 for 154 yards and a touchdown, a nice touchdown throw to Lil Jordan Humphrey in the Giants preseason game. I believe they played the Buffalo Bills. Ooh, Bubba from Bell Mead is on our phone line. I love saying that. Bubba from Bell Mead is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Bubba, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I use that term very loosely. Willie knows who I am from calling in on his previous employer, but I just want to add a little bit more fuel to the fire with a caveat. I think Shadur, and I think Cam, Shadur is going to be the MVP rookie, and I think Cam is going to come in second place, and they're both headed to the Hall of Fame.
Really?
No.
I mean, I'm listening to all these people on, you know, NFL Network and all this. I mean, come on, it's an exhibition game. Second and third teamers they're going against. Come on, please. I mean, this week, I think, if, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, the starters will probably play, and then they won't play the last game, I'm sure, for fear of injury. So we'll see most of the, you think we'll see most of the starters in the first half?
It does seem like there's
Thanks,
each
Bubba.
Year
Thanks,
a discussion. Bubba. Like, I feel like the last couple of years there was a trend of let's not play our guys at all. The Bengals in particular are a team that wasn't playing anybody in the preseason games, but they got off to such a bad start. This year they're playing the guys, right? And so Joe Burrow and the Bengals came in and lit it up for a couple series and then took the starters out. But last year they didn't play at all. So I year to year it changes. But customarily, I mean, I do wonder if they'll play Cam Ward more in the second preseason game than they did in the first. I would maybe think that's the case, but you've got two practices the next couple of days against the Falcons, and then maybe you evaluate after that.
I believe the game is on Friday between the Titans and Falcons. Also keep in mind that the Titans only have one home preseason game. So I imagine the Titans may want to get Cam Ward some action in front of the home fans. So keep that in mind as well.
And traditionally, the last preseason game, you don't play the starters very much, right? But maybe it's a rookie and you would
trying to sell tickets to a preseason game, your only
really,
home preseason
do they
game?
That's a good question.
Well, depending on what they see, obviously, this upcoming game, it will determine how much, you know, they play in a fourth game. But to what Bubba said, again, I go back to I understand it, you know, as the game went on, it was second teamers, and even you know, in some respects, as soon as the game started, it was backup guys on defense going against the Titans in particular or Cleveland. But I just wanted to see what they did with what they were entrusted with. And they did a good job. I get it, people. Y'all not telling us anything that we don't know. Adam said it at the beginning of the show, like, we know there were second teamers out there. We know there were third teamers out there. Hell, there may even have been fourth teams if a team it got a fourth unit. So we understand that the guys that are out there are more than likely, 90% of them are not going to be on your starting unit. But yet and still, if you go out there and they play bad and they're not playing against starters, what are you saying about them? Oh, they don't need to play, you know. So they don't need to start. They don't need to be on a team. I told you he shouldn't be pick number one. But the guy goes out, both of them, Shador, Jackson Dart, all of them, they go out and they do a good job. Can't we just say they did a good job? Let's wait for the next
game. No, we're not allowed to be measured when it comes to any of this stuff.
Yeah, you got a point there, but I'm just trying to be rational here. I'm just saying, like, I get it, people. It's against backups. But I would rather that guy play well against backups than to play awful. I understand the sport. I wouldn't want that guy. I don't care if we draft him in the first round, he better dominate the second team. He better have a good game. So when he does, it's like, okay. It's let's keep moving. Let's keep going forward. Let's go to the next task. But don't use going to get second teamers as a bad thing. They're just going out there. They're just running the plays that the offense give them, and they're trying to make the best out of it, and they're trying to move the ball down the field. And Cam was able to do it. Shador was able to do it. Jackson Dart was able to do it. And the other quarterbacks were able to do it at one point.
Let's go to Clay on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Clay, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
First of all, Adam, it was a pleasure to meet you that day at the station.
Oh, thank you. You as well.
Willie, I just wanted to say something else to you about the passing of your wife. I've been so impressed with, at least, you know, in the public eye when you're on the radio and things like that, your attitude and things like that, and because that had to be just totally gut-wrenching for you. And I just wish I had gotten to know Aaron better, because things I've heard George say about her, just a lot of people, she was evidently an amazing person. So I've been thinking about you. I just wanted to tell you that and may she rest in peace.
Thank you, Clay.
Thanks, Clay. Do you have a question, or did you just want to?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to ask my man, Denise, what he thought of Cam's performance when he was in the game, and also going into the season, what in the heck do you think the Titans are going to do if Cam was to get hurt? Because late in the game, you know, I think kind of got away, and there was some interceptions, things like that. So behind Cam, it doesn't appear like, you know, Titans have much quarterback.
Thanks, Clay.
Thank you, Clay. I think Cam did okay. Can he be better? Should he be better? Does he need to be better? Absolutely, all three of them. But if you're asking, you know, if there was a test, like a pop-up quiz, he passed the pop-up quiz. That's just what he did.
Pass-fail. Was it a pass-fail quiz?
Yeah, it was a pass-fail quiz. It wasn't A, B, or C. It was just pass-fail. And he passed. But he understands he has to get better moving forward, because all the next one, it may not just be a pass fail. There'll be a grade and the explanation underneath it. So he's going to have to get better. The team's going to have to get better. I just wonder how Callahan is going to approach this next game with his young quarterback, seeing what he saw out there this past weekend.
I think getting the ball out quick is the one. If I had to boil it down to one thing I'd like to see, based on the practices and that game, is a little bit more of a 1-2, bam. It's out when it's there, right? There's going to be times where he has to extend the play. But I think sometimes I still think, and I hear Brian Callahan harping on this, that the speed of the game, I want to see him get it. Like, you want to see him get to that level in the preseason, because it's only going to get faster in the regular season. And there's going to be some bumps in the road.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the performances of the other top young quarterbacks in preseason, Shador Sanders, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck. And I'm kind of afraid to ask this question, but I liked how we riled up the listeners a little bit earlier, so I'm going to do it again. Did Shador Sanders and Jackson Dart's performances over the weekend make you feel any differently about Cam Ward? Because Sanders and Dart had more big plays. Shador Sanders had two nice touchdown throws. Jackson Dart had a nice touchdown throw. Cam Ward did not throw a touchdown. Do Sanders's and Dart's performances make you feel any differently about Cam Ward? And I read something a little bit earlier about the preseason that might make Vols fans a little sad. And we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving, and 1025 The Game. D-Mace Vingen and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. I'm curious, Titans fans, 615-737-1025. Did the performances of Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart make you feel any differently about Cam Ward? Because Sanders and Dart had more highlight reel plays than Cam Ward did. Keep in mind that Ward played two series. Shedeur Sanders played nine series. I don't know offhand how many Dart played.
But if he threw like 19 passes, right?
He did.
So that would tell you he played quite a bit more than Cam Ward, right?
Yes.
So they had more chances to make good plays, but they also had more chances to make, you know, plays that kind of like we're scrutinizing with Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. The two plays that we've hit on that didn't go well, the one that should have been intercepted and the one where he kind of missed an easy third down conversion, I'm sure you could pick apart a lot of plays that Dart and Sanders had.
I mean, Tommy on our text line says, hell no! Cam played two drives, 5 of 8 for 67 looks better to me than 14 of 23, and Shedeur had a lot of terrible throws in playing time. Dart, 12 of 19 for 159 looks better, but I'd like to see Cam have 20 attempts and more drives. Greg says the other two had more to prove in the first game.
I think they all had a lot to prove. When you're the number one overall pick, you damn sure got a lot to prove that you are worthy of that number one pick. But I would... I am looking forward to Cam Ward getting more snaps and see how all this stuff evens out for him. Will he get more comfortable in the pocket the longer he play? Will he, you know, sort of revert back to what he's used to? Because he threw the ball fairly well the other night. So I do want to see him get a chance to at least, you know, say get 20, 21 opportunities to throw the football, sort of like those guys did in the first game, which means he's going to play more if that's the case.
Chad says Sanders' numbers through two drives were awful compared to Ward. It's not a fair comparison. But I said this as well. You might want to cover your ears, Vols fans, but USA Today has its preseason winners and losers for week one. I don't know if they're ordered by biggest loser. But the top two, the first two players mentioned under losers, Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Vols fans out there. It says about Milton, since his high school days, Milton's arm strength has sparked Paul Bunyan-esque tales rife with hyperbole. Brian Schottenheimer said last week that the only quarterback he has been around who could compare in that category is Brett Favre.
Mm.
Milton went 17 of 29 for 143 yards, one touchdown, and one interception against the Rams, a team that holds back its key players and invests little in preseason results, which left plenty of unease about Milton's positioning behind Dak Prescott. On Hendon Hooker, he lost two fumbles against the Atlanta Falcons. And according to USA Today, time appears to be running out for the passer to make good on the investment Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes made in him in 2023. I actually did like this quote from Dan Campbell. Hooker was pulled before the first half was over because of the two fumbles. Campbell, quote, you decide you're going to be a runner, you got to tuck it away, man. Dan Campbell on pulling Hendon Hooker. So doesn't look, I mean, how many calls and texts have we taken? Have y'all taken? Hendon Hooker, come on home to Tennessee. Well, I mean, he might be available because he might not end up in Detroit.
Well, he's one of the more unique guys out there because – as we've said all along, he played for so long at the college level. He starts off a lot older and coming off a serious injury. So he kind of needs to make it happen a little quicker. So these games might be more important for him. And by the same token, I find it very interesting what's going on in Indianapolis. Because as we pointed out last week, Cam Ward and Anthony Richardson are basically the same exact age.
3 days apart.
They were born 3 days apart. But you have people saying, well, it might be time to move on from Anthony Richardson. He's the same age as Cam Ward. But they're saying, but he's still making these same mistakes in the third year of his. Well, what did you think you were getting? You got a guy that didn't play a whole lot in college that was going to have a lot to learn. And clearly he's not making fast progress, and he's been hindered by injuries. But you have some people saying it's time to write him off. I do think your age does come into play with some of this. So where does that put Cam Ward? I'm not sure. But in particular with Hooker, I think you're when you start at a more advanced age, you're expected to develop at a quicker rate. At least you should be, right? Because in theory, you should know more about the game when you enter.
Yeah, but I mean, all these guys are going to sort of develop in the same way. See, the problem for sort of like guys like Hendon Hooker is he's a year into the NFL. I know last year it was an injury-riddled season. Well, he was injured. He was rehabbing an injury from college, so he missed the whole season, basically. And now he's coming in essentially as a rookie but a second-year player. And this is what I talked about, that some people are sort of maybe a little bit worried about a quarterback out of, you know, UT system, is that they don't read the field the way they need to, or it's not like, it's almost like you don't see that offense at all, nowhere in the NFL, but you're running it in college, and then you expect those guys to learn, take all that stuff that they learned and now, and the mechanics and everything.
Is that maybe saying that Nico, despite all of the rhetoric,
he probably did the best thing for his career?
There was something to
yes.
that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think okay. there was. I truly believe it.
Because people weren't buying that story, right? They were saying he's about the money, he's about this.
I think
he
wanted money,
too. He was trying to say, yeah. I want to play in a system that's going to develop.
Because that is not a system that's going to develop you for the next level. That hypo system will win you games in college, and they will always be a top five, top ten offense. But even some of the receivers have had their troubles trying to, you know, really find their footing in the NFL. Why? Because you're running into spots. It's a bunch of open space, and a quarterback really don't have to read anything, or he doesn't have to read all but one side. And maybe he's, you know, now you're starting to see it with Hendon Hooker. Now Milton, I mean, come on, his arm's strong. I get it, but he hasn't shown. Even in college, when he got his opportunity, you remember he was a high recruit of the University of Michigan, and he ended up transferring,
yep.
and still didn't win the job from Hendon Hooker, and he finally ended up getting the job after Hooker left, and didn't. The offense was what, a high powered offense, but he didn't develop as a quarterback, and you see it now.
But he did.
He did secure the number one
overall
pick.
He's a legend in Nashville.
So if Cam Ward turns out to be what Titans fans hope, you can thank Joe Milton. As I said that day, not just a New England Patriot, an American Patriot for landing the Tennessee Titans the number one overall pick. No, off the top of my head, pardon my ignorance, Vols fans, how many Vols players who played for Josh Heupel have gone on to have productive NFL careers?
Hadn't been that many. He's only been at the job, what,
a couple of years? This is his fifth season.
Is it? Has it been that long?
This is his fifth season.
God, it seems like it's only been like three seasons, fam.
You're talking about offensive skill players?
Yes.
Yeah. Is Jennings, will Jennings be a part of his?
Jawan Jennings?
Yeah.
No. Jennings was with Butch Jones.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's the other cat that came out last year? One went to the Giants, and he still hadn't shown up. He was the Giants' second-round pick, and then the other went to, which I liked. I really liked the other receiver. Where did he end up going?
Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah, Jalen Hyatt is something. He went to the Giants.
He went to the Giants. I haven't heard a lot about Jalen Hyatt he went to the Giants.
No, maybe he'll pop this season, but last season, no.
I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
What was the other running back? Not running back.
Jalen Hyatt.
Jalen Wright was the running back. And Dylan Sampson, who just left, right? Mm-hmm. Jabari Small.
No. I can't think of his name. I thought he was the better of the two receivers.
So you contend that Josh Heupel, the system that Josh Heupel runs on offense is not conducive to NFL success.
It's you don't develop, and I've said this for years, college coaches are not here to develop quarterbacks. They're not. You're here to win football games for me. That's what you're here to win football games for. And if you're that talented, then okay, you'll get a shot at the NFL. And then you kind of go from there. But You are tasked as an individual to develop yourself for the next level. We are here to win games and to get you a degree. Now is really more win games because you're getting paid now, so we don't care about that other stuff.
Multiple texters.
You should. Multiple texters
have mentioned.
No, you're right, Willie. Yes, you should.
Cedric Tillman is Tillman, the receiver.
Tillman. I like Cedric Tillman because I just thought he was a more refined receiver than Jalen Hyde. I thought Jalen Hyde was just a, you know, this is no slight against him, but he was just a one-trick pony. He was just a deep threat, and he did that very well. But in the NFL, you got to be a little bit more than that.
Jalen Hyatt in the NFL in 2 years has 31 receptions for 435 yards and zero touchdowns.
Yeah, last year, really, he didn't play much. He only had 8 catches last year. His first year was more productive than the second year, which is, for some reason, I'm not sure why. Because it doesn't look like injuries, from what I can tell. He was dressed for 16 of the 17 games, according to Pro Football Reference, but only started 3. He started 7 as a rookie. He was only targeted 19 times the whole year last year. Of course, the Giants had some problems last year.
Just a few. One texter said, Matt says, compared to Ward's 3 and out and close calls and second drive, Dart looked like a seasoned pro with full knowledge of the offense. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't watch the Giants preseason game, so I can't tell you how true that is. But again, it's the preseason.
He had a nice play down the field.
To my guy, Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Yeah. He had another play that it was more so of a – the run was the big gainer. It was a short pass, and the guy ended up gaining a lot of yards after that. Was Yak.
Yakety so, Yak?
Yeah, if you want to call
we'll
it
We'll be right back.
I think we have – history has shown that there are guys that have lit it up in the preseason that you're like, wow, this is really a stepping stone to big things, and it doesn't really materialize in the regular season. But there's always, every now and then, a guy like Dak Prescott, who people were buzzing about in the preseason, who was a, what, fourth or fifth round pick, and people were like, I'm telling you, he's good. Like, and Tony Romo was another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out, this guy's looking good. And it turned out that those guys were really good. So it doesn't mean he's not going to shine in the regular season. It's just better to do well than not well in these preseason games, right?
You're right.
If you really struggle, then look, you have to worry a little bit.
615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show by discussing something we saw in the NFL that has never been done before. We'll discuss that next and continue to take your reaction on the Titans preseason opener over the weekend against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinkin, 1025 The Game.
He drilled the ball.
Holy smokes. They got a shot.
He just kicked a 70-yard field goal. Are you kidding me?
Crazy.
I've never seen that. The NFL record. That would be an NFL record.
This is the end of the first half.
Holy smokes.
That's unbelievable.
Cam Little of the Jacksonville Jaguars nailing a 70-yard field goal in the Jaguars' preseason loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers on Saturday night. A kick that would have broken the NFL record had it been made in a regular season game. By the way, that record is held by Justin Tucker, who is persona non grata in the NFL right now. But Justin Tucker had a 66-yard field goal against Detroit in 2021. There have been 8 unsuccessful field goal attempts of 70-plus yards in the Super Bowl era, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. But 70 yards.
Wow. That boy, that young man has a lead foot, literally.
When does that become the norm?
Titanium leg, whatever it is.
Well, I think what we're seeing, and we mentioned this in terms of the Titans with, what's his name, Joey Sly, is that right?
Yes.
Sly has kicked a bunch of really long field goals, and they're not afraid to try long field goals. What we're seeing now with the way teams do the math is if it's 4th and 2 or 3 in safe field goal range, more and more teams every year are going for those situations more than kicking the field goal. So it's putting more of a premium, I think, on kickers who can make the 57 to 60 yard field goal more often, right? And not kickers like Nick Folk, who are money in that range, but maybe their value is not quite as much. I still think the reliability of hitting from 45 and in is still something you got to have. But I think there's a higher standard now. It's like, give me the guy that, yeah, he's going to make the ones he's supposed to make, but he can be that guy at the end of a half or at the end of a game that can make it. And, you know, we don't have to worry about, can he get it there? Most of these guys now can get it there from 60, and now you got a guy who got it there from 70. Like, it's raising the bar. Don't you think? It's like every year there's guys going further and further back.
I think so. The athlete has changed tremendously, especially when you're talking place kickers. For the longest, it was, you know, as long as you can make it within 40 yards, you're good. Now it's 45 and some even 50. They expect you to make 50 yarders now. And now you have this young kid that made a 70-yard field goal. I mean, you're going to start to see, I think, more and more where offenses are taking chances on kicking those long field goals, more so like right before the half or something like that. Or in crucial situations, they're not going to be scared to kick a 65, 70-yard field goal anymore. I know Baltimore did it. You know, it seemed like every chance they get now, I mean, they still got a really good place kicker, but obviously he wasn't what they had. But these kickers, they're getting paid a lot. So the expectation has grown. Like Willie said, they expect you to make a 45-yard. You should be able to make that with your eyes closed. You should, because they're paying you so much now. Now it's like, can you make the 55-yarder consistently? And can we at least try a 60-yarder once a season or twice?
And I would like to see somebody who does the math and the analysis of this. But do you guys agree with my theory of maybe there's less value on the sure-footed kicker from 40, 45 and in because you're going for it so much more, right? Teams, there's no argument. They are going for it way, way more in that area of the field than they used to.
Yeah, they
are. It's not even close, right?
Because they're expecting you. I think they look at kickers totally different now. Now that the NFL.
But that's not why they're doing it. They think that the math is telling them that if you go for it three times from the 35 on fourth and three, you're going to end up scoring more points, even if you don't get it every time, right? Rather than kick three field goals.
Yeah.
That's 9 points. But if I score a touchdown in two out of those three, then I end up with 14 points. The math is telling them over the long haul they'll come out ahead by going for it more when it's like fourth and two, fourth and three. Fourth and eight, you know, obviously that's different. But don't you think, like, it used to be like, oh, fourth and they're short. Here comes the field goal.
But I think it depends on where you're at.
There's that range of the field.
Exactly. I think if you're always – it's all about field – it's all about field goal. Where's that line where I can't kick a field goal anymore? For every team, where's that line? You draw a line.
Right. Everybody's got that.
Everybody has
that
line.
And they'll put it on the screen, right? Here is the max that the guys hit.
So every team has that line. Is it better for me, knowing where my line is it better for me if I'm there to go for it on fourth and one or to kick the field goal?
And then other times, I think teams are coming around to this. Like Jeff Fisher would be the old school guy that he would, let's punt it. If it's at the 35 and maybe it's a 52 or 53-yard field goal, I don't know. I'm about running it. I'm playing defense. I'm playing field position. Let's punt it and move him in. Now I think there's a lot more of, hey, my guy can hit it pretty easy from 53. Let's put him out there. And by the same token, the ball, let's say it's fourth and two, fourth and three from the 30. I think much more they're going for it there. They're not kicking the 46, 47 yarders as automatically. Mm-hmm. Jeff Fisher would have been automatic, just like the famous field goal by Al Del Greco that was blocked and returned for a touchdown. Sorry to bring it up, D-Mace. Sorry. I still get the cringy moments just thinking about it. But that was fourth and one. Mm-hmm. Like in today's NFL, now it was a great Ravens defense. That would have been a heck of a play, right? Titans, Eddie George pounded it in there against the Ravens D. But now there's a lot more, hey, fourth and one. We're going for that. But back then it was like, well, let's kick the field goal and go up 13-10.
That 70-yard field goal overshadowed Travis Hunter's unofficial NFL debut. Of course, Travis Hunter playing both sides of the ball, played 18 snaps in the Jags' loss to the Steelers, 10 on offense, all coming with the first team on the game's opening drive. He had two catches for 9 yards, another catch nullified by an illegal block penalty. According to ESPN, Hunter ran 6 routes, 5 of which came from the slot. He and Brian Thomas tied for the most targets from Trevor Lawrence with 2. Hunter also played 8 snaps on defense and had 1 missed tackle.
That's good.
They're committed.
They're committed to playing.
You're incredibly skeptical about
this. Yeah, I'm just.
You have been from the start.
I am not, you know, doubting the kid's talent, that he can play either position. But I do know in this game that it's too physical of a game. The physicality is too much for a guy to consistently, game in and game out, let's just say giving you 40 plays on offense and 40 plays on defense, or 55 plays on offense and 35 to 40. It's physically, it's going to beat you up, and you're going to have a much shorter career. And you're not going to help your team. Why? Because he's going to be banged up more than anything. I understand he wants to do it because of the, you know, the allure of being the only guy in the league that can truly do, you know, both jobs. But realistically, is it good for you physically? No, it's not. And anybody that keeps pushing, I know Coach Sanders pushes it. I get it. He considers him his son anyway. But he even knows, like, that is taxing on your body. Because if I'm a defensive guy, if I'm an offensive guy and I see him out there, I'm running the ball at him. I am. And I'm going to wear him out, so when he get back on offense, he's not going to be worth anything. So that's the stuff that I look at. People just look at what he did in college. Again, I could have gotten you 10 players that could have did the same thing. Probably wouldn't have had the same numbers, but they would have been able to play offense and defense.
Especially, as I just read, most of his work came from the slot. You're going to get banged up down there.
Yeah, he's not a big guy. Next season, he will work on his weight. I know, and he'll have a full season just to work out on his job, which is football. But this year, he's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. If the Jacksonville Jaguars want to sit here and be idiots and placate to him and put him, you know, 45, 50 plays on both offense and defense, he's going to get hurt.
One texter back to Cam/Shador/Dart. With the Cam Shador Dart comparison, you have to think about the future of the season as well. Cam's preseason workload may be managed more to avoid injury, as an example, or for other reasons. Even if his numbers didn't look as flashy as the other teams have a little bit more room to actually miss on those picks. Cam has to be the guy. The Browns have 6 quarterbacks, for crying out loud, and at least the Giants have seasoned veterans as a possible backup, meaning Russell Wilson, who is expected to start for the Giants, and Jameis Winston.
Yeah, they got better backups. Situations are different, so those guys don't have to play, theoretically, early because of their backups. That's not the same here. I wish the Titans did have a better backup, but even with that, if Cam proves he can play and should play, then you throw him out there. But it's always good to have a guy behind him that you can throw in there and that can win you some games and that the offense, like the other guys, feel good about.
Eli from Smyrna says, there is a player on the Chargers who plays offense, defense, and special teams. I'm unfamiliar with this player.
Yeah, me too. Let me see how many plays he played all together. Probably about 30 plays.
Mm-hmm.
All together.
How much of the Travis Hunter thing do we think, A, is I guess hype-driven, for lack of a better term. I mean, this is just something to keep in mind, in the back of your mind going forward. Jacksonville is desperate for ticket sales, excitement, hype. And so is that pushing the narrative a little bit more of, let's play this guy both ways, where maybe it's a little more sound to build play a little bit less on one side. And on the other side, the agent-driven, the receivers get paid more, so let's play receiver. Like, I wonder about those outside pushes on as opposed to the football part of it.
Well, if I'm sure they are pushing for him, like you said. They are pushing for him to play wide receiver. Why? Because wide receivers get paid more than defensive backs. And I think the longevity sits better with the wide receiver than it does with the DB. So taking all that into account, I would tend to believe as the season gets going, you're going to see him less and less on defense.
That'll do it for us today. Outstanding participation from all of you. Give yourselves a round of applause or a pat on the back. When you're not driving, of course, keep two hands on the wheel. 10-2. That's what I learned, at least. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Teron Davenport will join us at 3:20 live from Atlanta. Titans Falcons practice. We will get a full breakdown from Teron, and we will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Monday. Peace.